October 18th, 2022. Today's daily Bible readings come to us from Psalm 129, Jeremiah 39, 1 through 18, James 5, 7 through 12, or you could read Psalm 57, 1 Samuel 25, 23 through 35, and then James 5, 7 through 12. Again, I'm going to take a look at Jeremiah 39, 1 through 18, and ask, like, who is this guy anyway? We have this text in Jeremiah that's in Jeremiah 39. It's kind of the end of Jeremiah, but not really the end of Jeremiah. We've got several more chapters after this. But basically everything has come to a head, and Jerusalem's finally falling, right? Yeah, like Nebuchadnezzar shows up, and when Nebuchadnezzar shows up, things get really, really bad. In the ninth year of King Zedekiah of Judah, in the 10th month, King Nebuchadrezzar of Babylon, that's just sometimes his name shows up that way, came against Jerusalem and besieged it, and then just things downhill from there. And it's kind of a good thing for Jeremiah because, as you know, Jeremiah wasn't very popular amongst the later kings of Jerusalem who, because his message kind of ran contrary to what the more hawkish of the king's advisors would want, which was to fight against Babylon and, you know, show them what's what and take the war to them. And the message that God gave from Jeremiah was always like, no, don't. It's not going to work your way because God has decided that this is going to happen and God sent them to punish you. So just take your punishment and go on about your business. If they take you to Babylon, do it because this is God's plan. And it cost Jeremiah greatly. In the chapter before this, Jeremiah gets thrown into basically a muddy pit because the hawkish advisors, power players, had kind of steamrolled King Zedekiah because, you know, he wasn't a great king and he was kind of a coward. That's where this guy Ebed-Melech comes in, who's at the very end of this text for today. All we know, it says he was an Ethiopian, and I think maybe in 38 it says an Ethiopian eunuch. The name Ebed-Melech, which I know you know this because having read, you know, the Old Testament so many other times, you understand that Melech just kind of means king. Well, Ebed means servant, so it's servant of the king. So we're not really, you know, I doubt this is his name. I keep saying me like I've done all the scholarly work on this. I just have a good library. Ebed means servant of the king, so it's probably not his real name. It's probably just his title. More realistically, he probably was, you know, somebody who is like in Jerusalem against his will, you know, and end up in that position. And so he's this Ethiopian person from outside of Israel, a person who, you know, he's just an outsider. And yet he becomes an ally of Jeremiah. Matter of fact, he goes to bat for Jeremiah and gets him a better, like, space. He, in spite of all the, you know, the power players, he goes to Zedekiah and talks him into saying, you know, as being like, hey, this is not a good idea. You shouldn't do this to God's prophet. If you're going to put him in prison, that's fine, but you should probably take him out of that pit before he dies, because then you're going to be responsible for that kind of thing. And so, yeah, Jeremiah ends up being pulled out of the pit and, you know, basically put under house arrest somewhere. Anyway, it's a step up. That was kind of, he made a lot of enemies for himself, this Ebed-Melech guy. So it wasn't a good time to be making enemies when the enemy is at the gate. Here at the end of things, you know, Nebuchadnezzar shows up, or Nebuchadrezzar, however you want to say it. And actually things improve for Jeremiah a little bit. Like, he's still kind of under house arrest, but it's a much nicer location. And actually, you know, this foreign king, this invader king, seems better disposed to him than any of the kings he's dealt with thus far. And so as Jerusalem finally falls, Jeremiah, you know, like I said, finds some rest and care. But then here's the deal. God remembers Ebed-Melech, and gives Jeremiah this message to give to him. And he says to him, he says, "Go and say to Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I am going to fulfill my words against the city for this city for evil and not for good, and they shall be accomplished in your presence on that day. But I will save you on that day, says the Lord, and you shall not be handed over to those whom you dread.'" And I don't think it's that he dreads the Babylonians. He's dreading all the people who are still there that he kind of rubbed the wrong way in defending Jeremiah. "For I will surely save you, and you shall not fall by the sword, but you shall have your life as a prize of war." So God remembers his faithfulness, remembers how he put his trust in God rather than in, like, you know, in the midst of all this war and fear and confusion, puts his trust in God rather than in war. And here in the midst of so much war and confusion, God vouches for his life and his safety against his enemies and against all his fears. "For I will surely save you, and you shall not fall by the sword, but you shall have your life as a prize of war, because you have trusted in me, says the Lord." So, against all his enemies and against all his fears, this guy who's an outsider, who has nobody really to take up for him, finds God on his side because he trusted in God. Anyway, that's the DBR. Get out, enjoy the day, and we'll talk to you later.